This is session 31 out of 36 in this class on making and preaching sermons. And we've been talking about for several weeks now, several times now, the idea of presentation. How do you make your presentation? I set a principle a couple of sessions ago that presentation will trump information. In other words, you can have the best information possible. You may have done your sermon preparation and you've got all kinds of great information, but if it is not presented in a compelling way with gestures or visual aids or voice modulation, that sort of thing, the information won't get through to the people. So we've been talking about how you make a presentation effective. Now today you'll notice the title of this one, Notes? Question mark. Manuscript? Question mark. No notes? Question mark. In other words, what do you bring into the presentation, immediate presentation, in order to help you remember what you're saying? What do you need to do in that regard? Now, just want to reflect for just a moment on some of these popular presenters in English in the United States, at least. Tony Evans, incredibly effective preacher. Andy Stanley's in the middle here, and Rick Warren down on the lower left, and Francis Chan. Now, each of them is known for incredibly effective presentation of messages. People remember them. That's why they're invited to speak. That's why people buy their books. That's why these people are sought after, is because they've become known for being able to take information from the scriptures and present it in such a way that people are saying, yes, I get it, and it means something for me. But it's interesting to note that they all have different styles as far as what they bring into the preaching event with them. Andy Stanley has a cheat sheet. In other words, he has a Bible in which he puts his printed scripture, but he pastes in through his computer, he pastes in notes that he can quick glance at while he's speaking. And he speaks sitting at a table so he can glance down at what he's going to say. Francis Chan tends to be a no-notes kind of person. It'll just be a flowing thing and he will have studied and he's presenting it to you, but he's got the Bible and that's all. So different styles can work. That's all my point here. But you've got to pay attention to the styles. And I've just found this cartoon. It's only semi-relevant. Pastor saying to the musician, just because I'm preaching without notes doesn't mean you should sing without them. Now, the only point here is that it takes different strokes for different folks. So how do you present your message? What do you take into the preaching event to help you remember? There are a bunch of different options. Here are some of them. You can take a full manuscript and read it. You can have your full manuscript that you will have written in your study, a full manuscript, and then you memorize it. Or you can have a full manuscript, convert it to an outline, and the outline is what you take into the presentation. Or you can do an extended outline that you take into the presentation. Or you can do a very bare bones outline that just has the major points and maybe subpoints. Or you can extemporize, have no notes at all. We're going to look at each of those for a few moments today just to give you an idea of the options that you have and what might fit your style well. So first one is a full manuscript. You take a full manuscript and you read it. In other words, you go through the discipline of writing out a manuscript and then you get up and you read it to people. Now there are some advantages, as you'll note here. First of all, it ensures that you're going to prepare. When you go through the discipline of writing out a manuscript, you have had to study. You have had to go through the process of figuring out what words are going to resonate with your people. And precision of expression. This kind of approach is usually used by two different kinds of people. One kind of person wants to get the wording exactly. And I've met people, I've listened to people who preach that way, that they want, their wording is so precise. Now, we looked a while back about the importance of the words that you choose. Well, some people who want to use a full manuscript and read it will do so because they want desperately to just put it down the way that they had it. There's another kind of group of people, though, who will read their manuscript, and that's people who are terrified they're going to forget something. And that may be you, too. So you might want to consider doing a full manuscript and reading it. Now, there are advantages to that, as you can see, but there are disadvantages as well. Here are some of them. Eye contact is limited. You just can't connect with everybody if you're reading. And in fact, people who read their manuscripts will tend to have very little eye contact with their audience at all because they're so concerned about getting the words right. And so it limits eye contact, which is very important as far as people connecting to you. We'll look in a couple of sessions about building bridges to people. It limits freedom of expression. When you're reading a manuscript, you're going to be less likely to all of a sudden go off on a tangent. If that tangent's from the Holy Spirit, you might miss an opportunity. You know, I've had it happen in my preaching, not often enough, I don't think, but every once in a while, I will find in my preaching that I'm starting to say things I had never planned to say. And I'm very precise at what I say in a sermon at any given time. But all of a sudden, I will be going off on a tangent somehow, and I've learned to recognize, as I've listened to people who've heard these tangents, that that's a time when the Holy Spirit is speaking to someone in a way that I hadn't planned, maybe I didn't prepare correctly, I don't know. But all of a sudden, I can become spontaneous, responding to what I feel the Spirit is saying, and or responding to what I feel the audience is giving me as far as feedback goes. So if I'm reading my manuscript, I'm not able to do that. Now, a word about that, spontaneity, that this can be dangerous. You know, I've told you before that one of the things I love to do in a gathering of pastors is simply ask, what's the funniest thing that's ever happened to you in ministry? And one of my seminary professors, this man was a very distinguished-looking man. He had this beautiful mane of gray hair. He was just known as a gentleman, right? And I encountered him. I'd been out of seminary for 5 or 6 years, so I hadn't talked to him since. But we ended up both being at the Lausanne Congress for World Evangelization in the Philippines, in Manila. And we were sitting in this big conference center having a bag lunch, and I happened to run into him, and so I sat down. And I said, hey, tell me, Rich, his name was. I said, what is the funniest thing that's ever happened to you in preaching or in your ministry? And he said, well, he said, you know, I'm not a great preacher. He said, I always have a full manuscript and I read it. He says, I'm afraid I'm going to forget some stuff, so that's how I preach. But he said, one time, he said, I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying something to me as an image came to mind. He said, I was preaching about sin. And now sin, you know, always starts small in our life, but then it grows and it grows and it grows and it grows, kind of like that crouching lion we talked about a while back. So he said, it grows and grows. He said, I was preaching, I was reading my manuscript, and all of a sudden this image came of somebody being consumed by an octopus, that the octopus reaches out and grabs him with one arm, his tentacle, and then he reaches out with the other, and gradually all eight of them are pulling you into destruction. He said, so I went away from my manuscript, decided I was going to be spontaneous. And he said, what I said was, sin is kind of like an octopus. It reaches out and grabs you with its testicle. Now, that's a funny moment. And it happened because of spontaneity. And so you've got to be aware that if you're going to read manuscripts and be spontaneous, you've got to be careful, too, how it comes across. But even then, you know, I mean, it's a great moment. It provided a laugh for the congregation. And it actually built, he didn't preach regularly in a given church, but preached in many different ones. With that congregation, he is loved because of that mistake. So spontaneity is limited, and it requires extensive preparation because you've got to discipline yourself to write a manuscript that is readable. So, option number two, you can do a full manuscript and write it out, but you can take an outline into the message. Now, there are some advantages to this, obviously. First of all, you've got the same advantages as before. This is full manuscript memorized. There are advantages to that. First of all, you've got the same precision of expression, but now you can do eye contact, but there are disadvantages. First of all, it's tough to memorize that much. Now, some people have a gift at that. They have a gift to be able to memorize things in such a way that it's easy for them. I'm part of a prayer group in the area in which I live of pastors, and we get together and pray for each other, but there was one who has now moved away. But this man would memorize whole books of the Bible, and he would do a presentation of them, and it's powerful to hear somebody just get up and talk through a whole book of the Bible, Hosea or 1 John, or I think the biggest one he ever did was Romans, that he'll just sit and speak it. He was gifted in that, and maybe you are. And so you could take a manuscript and you could memorize it. Now, the disadvantages of it is it's tough, and it can lead to some woodenness of expression. In other words, someone is so concerned about getting the words right that you're memorizing that you're thinking about that instead of connecting with your audience. That can happen. Or, you could just forget. I mentored through our denomination a young man. It was a program where he would be put in our church for a year to work with an experienced pastor, and I was to help him develop his skills, and then he would be launched into ministry. And so this young man was looking at what he was going to do as far as presentation goes, and he decided that this was going to be something he would try. He'd write out a manuscript, and he memorized it. But unfortunately, he was going along in his message, and all of a sudden, he forgot what he was going to say next. It was just a mind blip, but he forgot what he was going to say. And so he stood there kind of like with his mouth half open. He wasn't skilled enough at that point to cover that by just keeping talking. And so it was just this uncomfortable moment until he went back and he had his manuscript up there, and so began paging through it until he found his point, and then he could go on again. So notice there are dangers here, and again, there's extensive preparation time. Well, let's look at a full manuscript, and then you bring an outline into the preaching event. This happens to be my favorite because it's one that I do. There are advantages. You've got complete preparation of thought because you've written out a manuscript. My manuscript tends to be pretty rough. In other words, I don't play details unless I was putting it out for publishing, which happened a few times. And then you go through and you clean it all up and make sure everything's good. But I would use a rather complete manuscript, and I did that for a couple of reasons. One, early on when I was learning to preach, I realized that that helped me put my thoughts together. I'm not a wordsmith. Some people who are gifted at that I admire greatly. But I would write out the manuscript so that I could remember it. What happened is that the first summer assignment I had in ministry, I had to preach every week in this church in Tucson, Arizona. And every week I would come back and I would file my sermon outline, and it was just an outline at that point. And then when I got back to school the next year, the seminary sends people who have been through that experience of learning to preach out to preach elsewhere. I would get out these outlines and I would say, example of old man. What old man? I couldn't remember the story. And so I began writing out these rather complete manuscripts, but what I took into the pulpit for years was just an outline that helped me maintain eye contact with people. It helped me maintain spontaneity, that I could be listening to the Spirit even as I listened to the congregation. But, the disadvantage, primary disadvantage, is that that takes a lot of preparation and a lot of work as well. But that may be what you would choose as well. Now, there's another choice. You could take an extensive outline into the pulpit with you. In other words, and that's the way you prepare your message. Now, in that case, more is better. More of the outline written and more of it being practiced, as we'll talk about in a moment. The disadvantage is it can be too wooden unless you've practiced it pretty well. A young man that was on staff with me in the last church I served went through the process of becoming ordained, and in that process was learning to preach. And so we talked about how are you going to present your message? What are you going to take into the pulpit with you? We don't have a pulpit, but what are you going to take that you put on the stand when you're going to preach? What do you take? And he decided that he was going to do this extensive outline, but he did it in such a way that he put memory colors in there. So he would highlight certain colors. The main points were in colors, and then sub points were in a different color, and other ones were not colored at all, that he didn't have to pay attention. So he could flip a page on the outline as he was going through it, and he could immediately pick out, this is the main point of what I'm saying, that sort of thing. A disadvantage, if you don't practice this well, it can come off as a very wooden, and again, very similar to the reading your manuscript. A bare bones outline. Advantages, you've got a spontaneous expression. You got eye contact, rapid preparation. A disadvantage, of, you know, just doing that for your preparation is you're going to forget it, but also it'll encourage ill-prepared thought, that you'll, you know, you'll have only thought through things well, and this tends to be a lazy person's approach. Can be done effectively. It leads to brevity or length. If you're not paying attention, you know, you'll be too short or you'll be too long because you really don't know how long it is. First time I preached in my home church, I was a seminarian, and I was at that point, as I said, just doing kind of bare bones outlines. And I remember preaching in the church I grew up in. The pastor preached an average of about 45 minutes. And so they had stripped the evening service in particular of everything else. You sang a song or two, he preached, and then you prayed, and you're done. Okay, so I come with my message that night, and I preached for 17 minutes. By 6 o'clock service it was, that's when it started, we were done by 6:35. And I remember one woman coming out and saying, "You'll be a good preacher when you learn to preach longer." But it was partly the bare bones outline. I didn't know really how long it took to preach that. And then there are those who say you should take no notes into the preaching event. And this allows for immediacy of communication. It may be that you've not just memorized it. We're going to talk about a moment about internalizing the message. But you're ready to talk. You're ready to communicate with these people who are right here. Gives you eye contact. Allows you to think about body language as we reflected on. But there are disadvantages in that this takes a lot of preparation. And the disadvantage of forgetfulness while you preach. Now, there are some in my area who are known as excellent, excellent preachers. And they are, who use no notes at all. I have great admiration for them. And if you can do this, it's going to be powerful for you. In fact, one of the people who was impressive to me in this regard is Lloyd John Ogilvy. And he was longtime pastor at Hollywood Presbyterian Church and became a chaplain of the Senate for the United States. I was in a small seminar with him that he was one of the guest speakers in the seminar. So there's about 25 of us guys sitting in a room. And he came and talked to us about his preaching in particular. And he talked about how he determined that he was going to get rid of everything, all notes. Now, he had a good memory, so he memorized poems, he memorized song words, those kind of things that he was going to use. He said, but it gave me a chance to really connect with people. He was in this church that had a big pulpit, of course. He said, and I found that it was almost like there was a block between me and the congregation, that this pulpit they could only see from here up on me. And so he decided to come out from behind the pulpit and talk with people. And in fact, I watched a tape of him later, a video, and he even, in a small crowd, came down and sat in the first few seats of the sanctuary because they weren't populated with people. And it gave him such an immediacy of connection. So he talks about, I try to not just memorize the sermon. That's not what he does. Memorizes parts of it. But I'm trying to be immediate with my connection with people. So he called it internalizing the message. And here are some clues to how to do that. One, memorize movements within the message. In other words, keep in mind your main points. Find a way of setting those aside in your memory. Memorize the illustrations. If you're going to tell a story, tell it well. If you're going to do poems, I always read poems. I used to memorize them years ago, but my memory isn't as good as it used to be. But if you can memorize it, good. But otherwise, just read it. Word songs. Get familiar with the small parts and then build in some crutches. Now, for Andy Stanley, he's the one who will put little notes. He'll take or clip in his Bible the scripture reading, and then you have little notes that he puts in the sideline that he's brought into his computer program. And so people think he's just preaching out of the Bible, but he's got some crutches in there on some main points that'll give him a place to go back to. I tend to use PowerPoint as a crutch. I put pictures in PowerPoint, much as I do for these lectures, as a way of building in a crutch. Just giving me something that'll get me back to, oh yes, that's the point I'm making at this point. And then practice, practice, practice. I preach through a sermon that I'm going to preach at least 3 times fully before I get up and preach it before an audience. Sometimes 4. Because I want to get the flow right. And I want to get so that my memory is connecting and putting the pieces together. And then, of course, I do that with what's going to be on the screen at that time. And so whatever you choose to do, my counsel to you is learn to do it well. Practice whatever you need to do, whatever style you need to have. Practice it so that it's you talking to a group of people, communicating to them, not just giving them information, but giving them yourself as well, and giving a message that you've internalized to some degree so that it becomes an immediate communication to them. And you'll find that your preaching becomes more effective the more you practice, the more you put these principles or whatever style you choose into practice effectively. So blessings as you decide what's best for you as a communicator of God's Word. We'll see you next time.